The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Queen of the Golden Nuggets, Iris Bunshaft. Good morning, Iris.
Good morning, John.
How are you today?
Very good, thank you.
I saw Iris last week at the Roslyn Advisory Board meeting. And for anybody listening, there's six advisory boards in the town of North Hempstead Project Independence, and you really should try to attend one because that's where ideas come from.
Yes.
Everyone is specific to a region. And if there's something on your mind where you live, you go to the advisory board meeting. You may wind up joining, but you don't have to. Mm-hmm. And say, this is an issue in this community. What can we do about it?
And also, because more is revealed to you, say, than a flyer or something like that, you participate more because you see that there's an advantage to something that you weren't aware of. Or you became more interested in.
Right.
So you're absolutely right,
100%. John. And Project Independence, for anybody who's new listening, is the Town of North Hempstead's initiative to help seniors age in place. Call 311 at any time and ask a question. We have services, transportation for medical, transportation for shopping, social work services, educational programs all week long, exercise programs, such an array of services that the supervisor has put together for the seniors of the town of North Hempstead, of which at this point we have over 11,000 members participating. And this radio program is part of it.
Right. And I just want to qualify about the taxis for shopping, limited to specific places within your area range.
Right, right. When you call 311, they'll tell you the store in your neighborhood, food shopping, where you can go. Mm-hmm. Our first guest today is Paul Dresner, who is a certified public accountant. And Paul will be sharing some ideas in reference to, you know, taxes and seniors. We always vet everybody who comes on this program. And, you know, the town of North Hempstead doesn't basically endorse anybody. I personally know Paul from the Unitarian Universalist Congregation at Shelter Rock, where he is the treasurer. And as that, does such a tremendous, transparent job, which is the most important.
Absolutely.
You can do a good job, and if nobody knows what's going on, it's a little shady to me. So with that, Paul is going to be on here today answering some questions. And welcome, Paul, and thank you.
Okay, thank you for your introduction. I'm going to talk about some general, what I'll call general tax principles or strategies, because I'm going to guess that a lot of people in the audience have some familiarity, either through themselves or their accountants or attorneys, with basic things, although I will touch on a few of those quickly in the second segment. And I would counsel you that if you have an accountant or an attorney, you should always be consulting with them, your accountant with regard to tax matters and tax planning, your attorney with regard to legal matters and having a will, or two spouses having two wills. So you'll be doing that, and I think that any ideas that may resonate with you that I state, you should think about that. There are general what I'll call tax concepts or strategies that fall into various categories. One size does not fit all, so some things may apply to one person and not to another, which is why you should talk to your own accountant about some of these things. But basically, you're looking at things in terms of taxes to either generate tax-free income if you can, to in various ways reduce your income tax liabilities, to increase deductions where you can, where they become deductions, to use deductions that you would be for payments that you would make anyway, but use them in a timing and an effective way so that they give you more bang for your buck, making estimated tax payments and the timing of that, which I'll get into, and how you generally think about what you're doing and what the strategies are, which is really something that I find many people don't do. And I'm going to give one quick example of that. If you're in a situation where you're either getting a pension, and some certain pensions have options in terms of your withdrawal, so that some pensions allow you to take 100% of what you're entitled, and they also may have the option of you taking less and ensuring that if you predecease your spouse, that the spouse will then continue to receive your pension benefits. And that generally is, for a lot of people, is presented in a very positive way, as if this is a wonderful idea. And I'm not saying it's not always a good idea, but it's something that you should think about what you're really doing. So that if you're going to get 100% pension that would cease upon your death, but you could get a 75% pension that would continue at that rate to your spouse if you predeceased them, there's certain inherent principles in that decision that you should think about. Number one, it presupposes that your spouse, who may be older than you, would outlive you. So, and in which case, you're getting 75% rather than 100%, and you're getting less income. Secondly, you can accomplish the same thing in a much more friendly tax way. And again, this is on a case-to-case basis, so I'm sure there are some exceptions to this. But if you opt to take the 100%, and if you are insurable, so that you could get term life insurance, for example, on yourself because you are insurable, my advice generally, again on a case-to-case basis, would be to take the maximum amount. Because what you're doing, if your pension is, let's say, $50,000 a year and you can get $40,000 if you take this option, that $10,000 that you're giving up is really what you're paying for insurance. You're saying, well, I'm giving up $10,000 so my spouse can get the $40,000 if I predecease them. My position would be take the $50,000 and use part of that $10,000 to buy an insurance, a life insurance, a term policy on yourself. And you could do the math if the life expectancy is 40, at age 65 or 15 or 20 years, you can get a policy for $500,000. It probably will not cost you $10,000 a year. So you get the same coverage because if you predecease your spouse, they get your life insurance. They get that tax-free as opposed to getting the 40% pension, which still would be taxable to them, so they're saving taxes. You're accomplishing the same thing. And if you do not predecease your spouse, you've gotten 100%, so you're getting more money through your lifetime. So that sort of kills two birds with one stone. And I know, at least in my experience, is somewhat in some of the city pensions where this is pushed because it's advantageous to the city. They're paying out less money, presumably, over the long run. And this may or may not be advantageous to you because there are things that you can do to maximize that income to you. And that's something that I would discuss if you're at a point where you're thinking of or considering or going to be retiring and you have these options in the pension that you're going to get. You might want to talk to your accountant about that and run the math. Do a life expectancy and decide which way works better for you.
If I can just jump in here, sure, for 1 second. I think the important thing for listeners to pay attention to is there is no cookie cutter approach. You know, you read one thing and everybody says, okay, this is what I have to do. And I push this all the time, and I'm really happy that Paul's talking this way. When you go to a community center, you have to ask, what are you doing? How did you take your pension? Now, this is for adult children, but because some seniors, it's too late. But the point is, there are more than one option out there for everything today. This is not 50 years ago when you took your Social Security and you prayed it was going to be enough to live for the rest of your life. Today, there are numerous options that have to be explored with somebody who's, referencing Paul, a concept taught, you know, you have the pencil pusher of years ago, and which is still very important because you have to be able to add the numbers correctly. But the concept is the most important thing, I believe.
So,
excuse me, Paul, also, sure. The kind of insurance that you mentioned, is that limited in age?
No, well, again, we're making, and that's why one size doesn't fit all. It's based on your insurability. Obviously, if you have severe health issues, you may not be able to get coverage or may be prohibitive in the premium. This kind of technique wouldn't work. But if you're in relatively good health, I'm talking about term insurance because, again, you go to actuarial tables, as much as we don't like to know that we're mortal, and you decide that, well, my expectancy is 15 years, let's say, at age 70 or whatever it might be. You could get a 20-year term policy. quickly, and that solves the issues that I'm talking about, because if you're playing over the with large numbers of people, obviously there are always somebody can, I hope we all live to 105, but if you're not going to be doing that, this will work.
But will the insurance cover that? In other words, what I meant with my question was, can one get that kind of insurance if one is 75 already, or 78?
Well, it depends. They can get term. The answer is yes, they can get term insurance. The issue is their health status and the amount of insurance that they're going to qualify and the premium, what it's going to cost. Mm. And those variables will affect that. So this might not always mathematically work, but it's something that you should at least have on the table and think about, because if it does mathematically work for you, because A, you're healthy enough to get insurance, and in my example, 50,000 pension paying, getting only 40 and having the option of the spouse getting the difference, you might be able to buy that insurance for less than 10,000 a year. So if you could buy it for 5,000 a year, all right, and you're covered. And not only that, you're giving your spouse, if you predeceased them, tax-free income, because that income, that insurance benefit is not going to be taxed. The pension, if they get that, so you could even factor that in. So even if the cost of the life insurance is exactly the same, then they're still getting tax-free when they get the insurance. And on top of that, you're also making the assumption as who's going to predecease whom or who's going to live longer after one passes away. Because even if you take the lower option, the spouse gets the 40%, the 80%, or the 90 or whatever it might be, if they die a year or two later, you're behind. Mathematically, you're still behind. Because you, for all these years that you were retired, for the 10 years you were retired, you were getting $10,000 a year less. Mm. So it works. So,
and all this has to be done before you pull the trigger.
Oh, yeah.
You have
this
to make sure you're approved. You have to make sure the premium is set. You can't do it and then say, oh, I can't get approved.
Yeah, John, I would not use the term pull the trigger in this instance.
That's our first golden nugget of the day.
Okay, and I'm just going to talk one other thing conceptually because I'm watching the clock here. The same kind of thinking pertains to when do you take Social Security, because you have a range of options from roughly in the 62 or so up to 66, 67, where you can start taking Social Security. When you start taking it determines how much of a benefit you're going to get. You get less of a benefit if you take it earlier and more if you take it later. But again, you should at least think about that and do the math. Have somebody look, what is the life expectancy? What is your health? What is the differential in terms of your earnings, because you get, and if you don't get them every 3 years, which you're supposed to, you can request a statement from Social Security, which will tell you what you're entitled to and your benefit. And then you put pen to paper and you say, because it might be, even if you're getting less at 62 and a half than you would have if you got it at 66 and a half, you're getting it for 4 years up front. And so the larger benefit that you would have gotten had you waited for the 4 years may take a number of years to recoup to get you back into place, because you've collected for 4 years right. already. And of course, this is dependent on other factors, namely if you're still working.
Need
might be one. Also, if you're still working so that you're driving somewhere to be taxable, you know, up to 85% of it, at least at the federal level. So these are things, it's just, again, this is a concept, something to think about, that when you do your tax planning with either an advisor or an accountant or an attorney, that you should put this on the table. These are things that one should think about, because, again, one size does not fit all.
Right. Actually, we're going to go into a break in a second. What Paul is saying there is so true, because most people tell you, wait till the end, you're going to get the biggest bang for the buck. And that doesn't make sense, because maybe you need the money, maybe you're sick. It's not a health insurance, a life insurance. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you're listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back after this break.